Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of ReimaginedOnline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. In this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Cherie Sanders, a Fort Lauderdale mom whose daughter found hope through a state scholarship program for students who experience bullying.
Hi, everybody. Today I have with me Cherie Sanders from the Fort Lauderdale area. Cherie is an extremely brave woman who's going to tell her daughter's story, her brave daughter's story, about how she endured bullying and found hope through the Hope Scholarship. So welcome, Cherie.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm very happy to be here and to share my daughter's story.
Without jeopardizing her safety or anything, tell me a little bit about your daughter. What are her strengths, her interests, or favorite subjects? What does she enjoy? What makes her special?
She continues to amaze me. The growth she has, like personally, and how she's gone from being this shy little girl to blossoming into this young woman who stands up for others and for her beliefs is awe-inspiring to me. She is so good at being organized at school. She's great in all of her subjects. If pressed, she would say that civics is her most favorite subject, but she prefers her electives, which are very fine art focused. So she loves theater, acting, singing. And then on the side, she also gets some exercise by rollerblading.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun. She really has some diverse interests.
She is.
I can't imagine why anybody would want to hurt this young lady, but tell me when the problem started.
So the first bullying event happened at recess towards the end of her fifth grade year. And the cycle of the bullying, it did not go on for a long period of time. Both her and the school handled it pretty quickly. And she was supported in bringing the concerns forward.
I understand the bully was a boy. Were his actions driven by a girl or group of girls that had been engaged in relational aggression or anything?
No, this particular student had actually been in her class a few grades before, and his behavior had just been, or misbehavior had been, escalating over time, and it really came to a head that fifth grade year. He was often pulled out of class for misbehavior, not following rules. He had threatened the teacher and the teacher's child. This was not necessarily driven by another group or relational type situation, but more of a personal behavior that just kept escalating and was not caught and remediated early.
So tell me what he did, what happened that got you concerned? Did it just start like with small things and build up, or was there one day where something big just happened?
His behavior was escalating throughout the year. However, the direct interaction with my daughter kind of happened at this one event during recess, where he threatened to murder her and said that he can do it because he has a knife in his bag. And this was simply because while he was at recess, he was being disciplined and had to walk the field a number of times. And he perceived my daughter and a friend being in his way. And this is how he responded to that.
Had your daughter ever been bullied previously, or was this the first time she'd ever experienced something like that?
This was the first time she had ever experienced anything like this. You know, there's a level of teasing or feeling like you don't fit in, and that's part of society and growing up, whether it's right or wrong. But this level where there is a threat to her person, to her safety, had never happened.
And what was her reaction when it did?
This like gets me teary eyed. I could not be more proud of how she handled it. She really did self-advocate. She went immediately to the teacher and reported. So that tells me that, you know, she had a voice and that she trusted her teacher enough to believe her and to take care of what needed to happen after.
And what did the teacher do? And then what did the administration do? What was their response?
So from my understanding, this is what I'm being told. Obviously, I wasn't there. They completed recess. They went into the classroom. The teacher looked through the bag to determine if there was a weapon in there. She notified administration. Another event happened that same day in the cafeteria, where he walked by and drew a line across his neck, like that motion of slitting the neck, and uttered something else to my daughter. And then at that point, she did again report, and administration notified me. They notified the police station. There was an official report. And then followed whatever protocols they have on their end.
What did the investigation reveal? What was his motivation for doing this?
So the investigation is an interesting process, especially for a person that's never been through anything like this. And, you know, obviously, and rightfully so, it protects both children's rights. So from my perspective, it can feel very frustrating because the parties involved are speaking at a very high level and vague. They're vague. So they're making sure not to reveal any personal information about the other child or the other child's circumstances. So understanding the like human element to this really becomes challenging. Understanding the like how this could happen is a challenge because you don't know this child, what he's been through, what his circumstances are. And so you, as a parent, you just feel very frustrated. You want answers. You feel like every child should feel safe in their school environment, and every parent should have confidence that their child is safe.
Tell me about your response and how you learned about this and what happened. You know, as a mom, that's just got to be terrifying news.
Three years later, and I'm still very emotional. I got a call in the afternoon. So mind you, this happened at recess, which was like mid-morning, again at lunch. And I was notified shortly before the school day ended. I immediately drove to the school. But during that call, the administrator, you know, very described the events that happened and started to go into like what to expect. And I had to stop her because as a mom, you just need to know the emotional and mental state of your child at that point, right? So once we got through that, then we went through like the next steps, what I can expect. And by the time we were done with the phone call, I was at the school.
How did this affect your daughter? Did it cause any personality changes? Was she afraid to go to school? Did she lose interest in things? How did this affect her?
So I think this probably affected me a lot like greater than it did her. And I only say that because my daughter sat in this classroom with the student whose misbehavior was so common. She had already heard that he had made threats before. So with the student often being removed from the classroom and causing issues with other students and all of this, it was almost like she was desensitized by his behavior. And he didn't, and you know, she doesn't have the world experience adults have with understanding what potentially could happen. And like I said, this bullying cycle was very short. Like it was over within a week's time. And so I do think that the way it was handled and how quickly it was handled helped to make sure it didn't have a lasting effect on her behaviors and her personality. and really did solidify the importance of having trusted adults around that will do the right thing by you.
Well, that's good that she had people she could go to. Overall, how would you say the school and the district handled it?
Obviously, there's nothing to compare it to for me outside of, just understanding horrific events that have happened at schools. I felt that the administration and teacher were readily available during this process. Did I agree with how the process ran or some of the rules around it? No. For example, I asked for the student to be removed from my daughter's class and was told that that is something that they cannot do, but they would honor a change of class for my daughter. My daughter had been in that setting for almost her full fifth grade year and didn't want to move. She had established friendships with classmates and she adored her teacher. They have a ton of activities for fifth graders that are graduating into middle school, and she wanted to be with her fifth grade class during that time. So it was things like that were very challenging for me, not knowing the circumstances. There's also some privacy around everything, like the repercussions the student gets. Everything is vague. So those are the processes and things like I don't agree with, but I will say administration was there for me, told me what they could tell me, and followed their processes well.
So do you feel like this was a situation where the perpetrator had more rights than the victim?
I definitely felt like that in the moment.
What options did the school and the district give you and your daughter?
Just the option to change classes, and that was because I inquired, but they did not know anything about the Hope Scholarship. In fact, I was the first person that came to the principal about it. And during that, when he read the form that he would be required to fill out, he handed it back to me and said, "I don't think your daughter will qualify." And I said, "I need you to fill this out, and I would like us to let the scholarship determine if she qualifies instead of you."
Why would he think she wouldn't qualify?
Because this event was, this bullying cycle was very short. Everything start to finish happened pretty much in a week that, affected my daughter. She reported quickly. We advocated quickly. We met with the administration team and the police officer very quickly. And so it was nipped and ended. So he felt like it wasn't a long repeated bullying cycle.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you wanted your daughter to go to a new school. Now you mentioned this is the end of the year for her. So mm-hmm. Did you take her out right away or did you wait? You mentioned her having friends that she wanted to be with at the end of the year.
Yeah, this is one of those tough calls as a parent, right? You hear what your child wants, but you still have to make the best decision for you or for your child. And sometimes those don't align, right? And so I was going back and forth, and it was eating me up. And then when I found out that the student would not be returning to the school after the suspension he received, that helped in the decision of keeping her where she was at for the remainder of the school year.
With the student gone, why weren't you willing to keep her there? Why did you feel like she needed to change schools with them?
Mm-hmm. So it is a natural progression because her elementary school would be over and she would be going to a middle school. I was looking at magnet schools instead of the local school that she would be zoned for. But this, what really pushed me was this student's behavior had been escalating. And as a former teacher, I taught for a school system for 10 years. I know the limitations teachers and schools have on how they can interact and, you know, discipline students and change behavior. So how would it work when my daughter would be going into a middle school with a much greater general population and much less supervision, direct supervision? And that terrified me.
You mentioned this kid going to a different elementary school, being suspended, but I assume he was in her grade. So was his, did you know if his new school was a feeder school for your daughter's middle school?
No. No, I did not. I would not know if their paths would cross.
So there's a chance they could have ended up at the same middle school.
Absolutely.
So how did you learn about the Hope Scholarship?
So shortly after this incident happened, I started looking for private schools and essentially like praying and hoping something would pan out for us. Because there is a large financial burden that comes with a private school option usually, right? And in doing so, I sat down with a private school in their financial office. And she asked me if my child had ever been bullied. And she talked to me or told me about the Hope Scholarship and helped guide me through what I would need to do and what form I would need to get filled out in order to determine if she would qualify for that.
And how was that going to help you? Because were there any financial barriers to her, to your being able to just put her in a private school? I know that's very pricey for a lot of families.
Absolutely. The Hope Scholarship pays a portion of her education at the private school. However, it does not pay at all. It's definitely helpful. And is the reason she's able to go to a private school. There is still a financial burden that we take on, or I take on as her parent. And, you know, we make it work because I want her in an environment that she feels safe, that I know that the population is smaller, the oversight is stronger, and one that she'll thrive in.
What would you have done if the Hope Scholarship hadn't existed or you didn't qualify for one?
I don't know. I don't know what we would have done. She did get approved for a magnet school. I didn't feel like that was the way to go. I didn't feel safe. My anxiety level was still high with that route. I think where she is today and who she is today would look a lot different.
So tell me about her new school and how she did in that her first week.
So, her new school has brought a lot of change in not just the way they approach the school day, if you will, but even it is affiliated with a church. So, you know, they pray at the start of each class. They talk about discipline in a different way and expectations and self-control in a different way. It's also not mandatory for you to be at that school. If you are not doing what you're supposed to, you won't be. So there's that level of like safety built around, in the sense that the core of who you are, your core values, what you believe, and how you are working towards being a good person is instilled in all that they do. And then they do have a well-rounded extracurricular. So their middle schools are focused on everybody is a part of the team, even if they have A team, B teams. And it's really so that everyone has the opportunity to see, to play a team sport, to see if they are good at it. And then it goes into, you know, trying out for teams over the years once they've determined, like once the student has determined if it's something they like and are good at, which I love. I, like I said, taught for 10 years and my kids would come back to me and, you know, want to play basketball at their middle school and couldn't because the school was a, like 2,000 kids and the basketball team was a team of, you know, 15 or 20. And so just getting a spot was next to impossible, right? So she was afforded a lot more opportunity. And with that, she's learned new things that she would have never tried, that she's good at, and things that she's tried and are not for her. And that's okay too. She has thrived in their fine arts program. The environment itself is very conducive to close relationships with teachers and with the staff that is affiliated with the school as well. She's gone from, you know, being a participant in extracurricular activities. She was involved in elementary school activities as well, but she's moved into looking for leadership roles, which, knowing my daughter 3 years ago, it just surprises me how far she's come in her own confidence and what she's able to do and what she has to offer.
Well, that is great. It sounds like she's doing well. Has she had any more bullying experiences at the new school at all?
So she has not. What I do notice in her is that she really tries to stay away from what she calls drama. And that involves like girls talking about other girls or, you know, I mean, that type of stuff is not going away. So she's looking at ways to keep herself removed from it and to find a close group of friends that are positive and, you know, work together to promote that positivity within them. And then learning how to just, I don't want to say deal, but be around people who don't have the same kind of personal boundaries that she's laying.
Well, it sounds like she's got a good head on her shoulders and doing very well and knows, you know, is doing all the right things. What advice would you offer any other families who were going through incidents of bullying at their schools?
So my advice would be to believe your child. Be their voice, and as much as possible, help them find their voice. You know, ask questions. We don't know what we don't know. And be loud if you need to be, and try to do it in a way that's kind, thoughtful, and strategic. And then, you know, we as parents have to push. We have to push for high standards, push for information to be readily available for us. Push for safety in our schools.
What would you tell them about the scholarship? Because as you said, your school didn't even, so they didn't even know about it.
Yeah. So I think HOPE, as the name of the scholarship, it really does give people that. And it gave me hope at that time. And so I think that as much as we can spread that wealth of knowledge of what we've heard maybe from this podcast, and make sure that we're just telling others about it and telling others about where this money is coming from and how they can do their part. So advocating to our family members about, you know, if we hear they're purchasing a new car, and having those funds allocated to the HOPE scholarship. Those are the things that I think would be helpful.
It has been such a joy to have you on the episode, on the program. We appreciate our parents coming forward, and we realize this is not an easy topic to talk about. So we really do appreciate your willingness to share.
Thank you, Lisa. And I've, like I said, enjoyed sharing her story. It is a very emotional story for me still to this day. But most importantly, there does need to be a change, and we need to fight for our kids.